Sportsnet's Andy McNamara. Get your Ask Andy questions in right now at 960-960. Draft prep is very much underway. Mr. McNamara, how are you on this Friday?
Oh, I am doing well. The sun's out. Everything's baseball trade deadline. Lots going on. How about you guys?
We're doing well. We're doing well out here, man. And we were wall-to-wall free agency coverage on Wednesday, so weren't able to bring you on for your regular Wednesday hit back this Wednesday, but wanted to make sure we still were able to bring you on this week because lots to get to. As people start to get their Ask Andy questions in at 960-960, it is starting to get to that time, isn't it? We're on the crest of August. If you're a fantasy football nerd, like, this is the time to really start doing your research.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. And I actually have my top 12 plus sleeper fantasy rankings for each offensive position group released that last week on Sportsnet. So if you haven't seen it or you want the link, hit me up on Twitter at AndyMC81. So, yeah, this is where you have to really start to figure out, okay, you're playing A, B, C, D, E based on different draft order scenarios. Who do you want where? Who are you willing to part with? Who might you have to be willing to reach for depending on if there's a run on a particular position group? So this is really where you get down to it.
Absolutely. And we'll get into some specific roster questions from our listeners in just a second. But before we get to Ask Andy, let's start with this Aaron Rodgers saga, which continued earlier this week on Wednesday with that bizarre wrestling promo like news conference that he held. What do you make of this ongoing Aaron Rodgers saga in Green Bay?
Oh, I'm just glad. I think at least for this year, it's over, because now, and this is why I advise people all the time, you do not have your fantasy draft in July, people. You don't have it in early August either. Wait as long as possible. Cause if you've already had it, and I know we all get antsy, we want to have our fantasy draft, but if you already had it, you would not have known that information. So it looks like, at least for this year, we're going to have Aaron Rodgers with Devontae Adams. And that means everything in the fantasy world in Green Bay makes sense again, right? We know what to expect. Devontae Adams is going to be a top three receiver if he stays healthy. Aaron Rodgers is going to be your QB1 who can dominate, and everything is good. So I was very relieved and exhaled after seeing that, because we know everything isn't rosy big picture, maybe long term, but for this season, looks like we're going to be okay.
Yeah, and does any of the the potential bad blood or abrasive nature of this, does it worry you at all as to what Rodgers might be this season, or do you buy more into the he's going to try to stick it to the Packers and thus have a pretty good year?
I think probably the stick it answer. And like he said, he said he loves the coaches, loves the players, loves the city. It's the front office. So once the season starts, you don't deal with the front office, right? You don't deal or work with them. It's all about the coaches, the team, and the next game. So I think once things get going and he gets into camp, there's not really going to be any interaction with the front office. Mm-hmm. So I'm not concerned that it's going to have a factor.
Yeah. What do you read into this Carson Wentz situation in Indianapolis? Out with a foot injury indefinitely. We don't know what that's going to look like, but certainly if you're a Wentz owner or a Colts fan, you're holding your breath a little bit there.
Oh boy. Yeah, that's super, super disappointing. The old indefinitely, right? What does that mean? Now the good thing is, as long as it's not season ending or requires surgery that will have him out for months, he shouldn't really miss that much of a beat in the sense that he knows the offense already. Now, would you like better chemistry with your new receivers, tight ends, et cetera? Of course. But he knows the system under Frank Reich, so that shouldn't be too concerning. The problem now becomes, all right, you go to Jacob Eason, who's a second-year guy as a backup. You got Sam Ellinger, who's sort of a gunslinger type. And Jalen Morton, who, I'll be honest with you, I don't know who the heck he is. He's the four-string guy. So all of a sudden now, what does this team look like if Carson Wentz misses time? It gets pretty scary, to be honest, because we don't know. It's not like Jacob Eason was, some people liked him in college, and he certainly has some redeeming qualities. Do I think he's going to be a superstar fantasy quarterback or even maybe an upper half starter in the league? I don't. I don't think that for Sam Ellinger either. So does that mean we rely more on the short, safe passing games for rookie? That maybe is where we have to turn our attention as fantasy owners and getting ready to draft if Wentz does miss more time, and remains to be seen. that if that's the case, let's say Wentz is going to be out multiple months and we don't know. So what I look to is, all right, who's the safety blanket? Who's going to be those quick outlet passes for the rookie receiver? I think you're going to lean on the running game more. I think that's very good news for Nyheim Hines as the pass catcher out of that backfield. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be more work for Jonathan Taylor. The Marlon Mack situation, him floating around, I'd be much more comfortable if Marlon Mack wasn't there. It just kind of muddies things up. But for receivers, I think it probably puts an uptick on Paris Campbell, who, if healthy, is supposed to be somebody out of the slot. So we have to sort of adjust where we put fantasy value on the Colts if Wentz does miss significant time.
Let's say that he doesn't. Let's say that he's good to go. And from week one, Carson Wentz at 100%. Where do we look at him? How do we look at Wentz as a fantasy option and the Colts offense and their fantasy options?
Now, I think Carson Wentz, when healthy, is an absolute QB1. I think he's a top 12. I believe that he can bounce back absolutely because he has the comfort of Frank Reich there. And, it seems like Carson Wentz is a little bit of a sensitive soul. He doesn't like people pushing him for the job, like with Jalen Hurts. He doesn't like, lots of people in his ear. And he just, the situation went badly in Philly. And so when we look at Carson Wentz, with this injury now, do I trust him fully? I probably wouldn't draft him as a starter on my fantasy team. But would I be surprised at all if he was a top 12? Absolutely not. What I think we then look at is the value increase in the two tight ends, Jack Doyle and Mo Alie-Cox, because what did he have in Philadelphia? Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert. Out of those two, I think you put more value on Mo Alie-Cox. I think Jack Doyle's going to be drafted first. His floor might be higher, but the athleticism of Alie-Cox is so much better. It's so much higher. We saw it flash last year. I believe he's going to overtake Doyle as the premier guy, sort of like how Dallas Goedert leapfrogged Zach Ertz. So I think that's the case there. And T.Y. Hilton, he kind of came out at the end of last year, not interested at this point in his career. I'm just not. Pittman, he had some opportunity. Could he come up maybe as a flex right now? And again, Paris Campbell might be the most interesting out of the slot if he remains healthy.
In conversation with Andy McNamara from Sportsnet, one more before we get to Ask Andy, and that's Zach Wilson finally signing his deal with the New York Jets. Do you take anything from this Jets team this year, Zach Wilson or not? Do you have any fantasy eyeballs there for this season?
I do. Not with Zach Wilson. I'll be honest. I wasn't too high on him coming out of the draft. Maybe it was the suit he wore. Did you see the suit at that draft?
Oh, yeah.
They had toddler shoulders. I can't get over it. If ever I feel like I'm not looking strong, I'm going to look at the picture of Zach Wilson and be like, all right, not too bad. Like, incredible. I don't know how he's going to take an NFL hit. I really don't. That all being aside, he's going to get the chance. He's going to get the opportunity. The running back to watch for me is Michael Carter. And I wrote about this guy before the draft on Sportsnet. After the draft, as somebody you need to target, because the injury history of Tevin Coleman is super high. He'll probably get the look, and he's going to be the one to help institute the system that Robert Saleh is bringing over from San Francisco. But it's Michael Carter. He does not get enough credit as a in-between-the-tackle runner. Two running backs at North Carolina, two of them, and both went for over 1,000 rushing yards. Carter's a better pass catcher, and I believe as the season goes on, that's the one you want to be moving into your starting lineup at some point. And for dynasty situations, a mid-round pickup, I want some shares in Michael Carter for sure. Elsewhere, tight end, Chris Herndon fooled me three times. Shame on me. No, we're not. You're gonna have to prove it. I'm not touching Chris Herndon. Wide receiver, Corey Davis. Does this not reek of someone who had a big year in his contract year and then will go just back to being mediocre? Right? I'm not too high on Corey Davis.
Okay, so those are some of the stories kicking around the NFL right now. Now to Ask Andy at 960-960. Get your fantasy football questions in. If you've got roster dilemma, if you've got keeper dilemmas, if you've got things that you're looking at heading into your fantasy draft, still, you shouldn't be having your fantasy drafts for a few more weeks yet.
Right.
But 960-960. Let's start with this one for you. Calvin Ridley, is he a no questions asked wide receiver one for this year?
I believe so. I believe so. I am A little more bullish on Calvin Ridley than some. People think he won't be able to handle the wide receiver one duties as the main focus. And there certainly aren't a lot of other options in Atlanta, but I think he can handle it. Because remember, Julio Jones was banged up a bunch of the year, and Ridley looked fine. Matt Ryan's still going to have to throw the ball up. These are the two guys that I feel are tied closest together. Because the other receivers, Russell Gage, nice real-life player, possession guy. You got Zacchaeus, who maybe is good, maybe he's not. Anybody else, not really an option. The two guys tied together are rookie Kyle Pitts and Calvin Ridley. Because if Pitts can emerge quickly as a weapon and not bogged down with blocking duties for tight ends, use him as a weapon. Take position designation right away. He's a weapon. Put him W. He's a weapon. That is going to draw attention away from Calvin Ridley. Those two need each other, I feel, this year to be real life and fantasy football relevant.
Okay. What about this one? PPR league, George Kittle. This is a nice problem to have. But in a PPR league, George Kittle or Saquon Barkley?
Oh, geez. Yeah, that is a nice problem to have. You know what? I'll go with George Kittle. Both have had injury issues, and Kittle could – they could very well follow Kittle, but Barkley's are just, I just need to see it for a full year. You know, I need to see him healthy for a full year, consecutive years with serious knee injuries. And the tight end position group is much thinner than the running back group, which is also thin. So out of that, let's put it this way. If you let go of Saquon Barkley, you might be able to hodgepodge your way into an RB2 committee type of situation. If you let go of George Kittle, are you going to be able to get anybody close to that production out of the three or four true relevant tight ends in fantasy football? I don't think you will. So I think you got to stay with Kittle.
This says, I'm in a standard scoring league with the exception of quarterbacks getting 6 points for a touchdown. I'm in the 9-hole of a 12-team snake. Is this the year I should take a quarterback in the second round?
Boy, I'd still say no. I would still say no. I understand the question. I can appreciate it because it's like, okay, well, by the time I get around with my 9th pick and it comes back to what, I don't think you need to. And the reason I say that is because you can get somebody like a Ryan Tannehill, maybe even a Russell Wilson, a Justin Herbert, perhaps, maybe even a Matthew Stafford, you know, in LA. You can get those type of players later on. Are you going to get the full production of a Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes? No. Are they going to be that far of a drop off from where you can take other positions, like maybe a star tight end, like a running back that you're going to need earlier? I don't think it's worth it. So I think you wait and target one of those sort of more mid-tier steady types that are going to be able to get you some really good fantasy production, and you're still going to be able to fill out your lineup.
Here's another good problem to have. Two keepers out of Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, and DK Metcalf.
Oh, well, you know what? I'd say you got to drop Michael Thomas. Nice lineup, by the way, bud. Wow. That's really, you know, last year, good-looking lineup. This year in New Orleans, oof. The late surgery, which is bizarre for Michael Thomas, really puts his availability in question. Is he coming back at some point in September, October, early November? And then once he is, does he get ramped up? This just seems like we're having written off year all over. So out of those two, I think you got to drop Thomas.
Speaking of DK, given Seattle is going to want to get the ball quicker with the new OC, the long ball routes might suffer. Do you see DK having a bigger year than last year?
You know what? I wouldn't really concern myself with the, let's say, the structure or routes being run. DK Metcalf is a bona fide freak show weapon. You find a way to get the ball
yes.
into your hands if you fancy yourself being employed in the National Football League. I see now 1,300 plus yards and 10 touchdowns last year. I could see him right around the same, which is phenomenal. Maybe you line up in the slot more. Imagine that as a mismatch off the snap. Oh, you get that guy running through little linebackers. That might be smart to do anyway. So, no, I don't think that'll hurt him at all. I'm still a super fan of DK Metcalf.
What you're saying is don't overthink it with a player of that caliber.
Yes, great, great word. Yes, don't overthink. DK Metcalf is one of the most talented athletes, period, in the National Football League. You find a way to get the ball into your playmaker's hand.
And final one on Ask Andy. Looking for a running back breakout. Choice between two players. Who has a better chance of breaking out this year? Harris in New England or Moss in Buffalo?
Ooh, boy. Ooh. Both have serious questions. I'll go Harris, but I don't like it. Like, I would rather go with Michael Carter, to be honest with you.
Yep.
And wait a little bit personally in that type of situation. But if I have to pick, this really depends on how long Cam Newton remains the starter. When Cam Newton is the starter, you have to negate the value of the running backs in New England. You just have to because he runs so much. Now, we've seen in recent years, Cam Newton gets hurt a lot because of the punishment he's taken. And he's still running. So do I think he's going to be the quarterback for the whole year? I don't. But when does that situation come? Does it come because Mac Jones is ready? Does it come because of poor play? Does it come because of injury? Because when you put Mac Jones in there and you insert him, a non-running quarterback, all of a sudden the Damian Harris value kicks up a whole bunch of spots. So it is a speculative add and a hope, a wait, a bit of a roll of the dice. But in Buffalo with Zach Moss, you got Singletary there as well. Like, we just haven't seen the consistent run production with also, let's not forget, Josh Allen can book it on the ground and use his legs too. So do I trust that backfield either? No. Oh, and by the way, you add Matt Breida, who's a better pass catcher.
Yeah.
Chase another's a third guy. So I would say Harris, but really, you know, make that as a last ditch. That guy's on your bench and you just cross your fingers. Pick. Yeah,
absolutely. Great stuff on Ask Andy. Before we let you go, my friend, tell us the latest. So I know that you are like underwater right now with different fantasy ventures. UFF Sports in the Ultimate Fantasy American Football League. Tell us the latest.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had our Vegas event a couple weeks ago, which was amazing. And we're filling out now. We're getting our team logos and everything submitted from the 32 franchise owners. So remember, this is run as the NFL. It mirrors it. The full salary cap, the full 53 roster practice squad. So what we also just put out, actually, if you want to follow on Twitter, at @USAFL_UFFS, the top bidder of the top franchise who gets the first overall pick in our 53-round player draft, by the way, at the end of August, was Hall of Famer Chris Carter, Michael Vick, and boxing welterweight champion Bud Crawford. That's the ownership group who spent $175,000 for the top franchise, okay? That's USD, baby. And what they did, they put out an ad, which we posted on the Twitter and from Chris Carter's personal account. They're looking for a general manager and to hire a salary capologist. So this is professional fantasy football, folks, okay? So you can work and submit potentially to work and get paid by those three greats in professional fantasy football. So check it out at @UFAFL_UFFS on Twitter and on Instagram as well at the same address. And hey, you can apply and we can see what happens. I'm going to be reviewing them too, so you know.
Nice. So you suck up to Andy is
absolutely it works. It works, people. Say some nice things about the Browns. I'll make sure it goes through.
Great stuff, Andy. Where can we find you on Twitter?
You got me at @AndyMC81. I got all the stuff for the fantasy show, the UFAFL as well. On that point. Oh, and we should say too, on the fantasy show this week, and the draw is going to be next week, but we're going to get full details. We've partnered with Topps, the baseball card company, right? It's going to be National Baseball Card Day coming up in August. So we are going to be giving away $1,000 Topps baseball card prize pack. We're going to tell you all about how to do it and where to enter on Sunday. You can get in on it now if you check out the @Fan590 on Twitter and @Sportsnet590 on Instagram about some contest details. But it's open to everybody, your listeners across the country, everywhere, to enter to win that Topps prize pack. So that's going to be really cool.
Fantasy show Sunday mornings, 6 a.m. right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Great stuff, Andy. We'll catch you back in your regular spot this coming Wednesday. Thanks for doing this.
Absolutely, brother. Talk to you soon.